We are moving on in our series called God's Army. Remember last week I mentioned that if you have anything that slightly resembles clothing that a warrior might wear, that you were allowed, you were permitted to wear it, hence the shirt. How about that? I've been waiting for ages to wear this shirt. And then I have something else here as well. How about that? So where's your camouflage jacket, hey? Where are the warriors of faith? Let me see your hands. Amen. It's not the clothes that make us warriors. And this one is just a little bit too big for me. It's what's on the inside. Warriors of faith. Thank you to Helen for lending that to me. Helen Lee, God bless her. I don't think it's hers. I think it's her husband's. But we're talking about warriors. Warriors of faith. God says to us that we are soldiers in his army. That is what we signed up to when we became a Christian. Perhaps somebody said to you, give your life to Jesus and everything will be fine, comfortable, easy, relaxing, no problems. If they told you that, you need to forgive them for lying to you. Because that is not what the kingdom of God is about. We enlist as soldiers in God's army because there is an enemy. His name is the devil, the accuser, the deceiver, the father of all lies. And his objective is to take to hell as many of us as he possibly can. And we need to know that we are called to be soldiers of God. We are equipped by God himself with armor and with weapons. And next week we'll be talking about those things. Why would God give us armor? Why would God give us weapons if we were not to be soldiers or warriors? If there was not an enemy that needed to be defeated. Now, my friends, each one of us are soldiers and warriors of God. And not only are we called as soldiers to enforce God's law in our own life, but we have been commissioned. We have been commissioned by God himself to go out into this dark world and save souls from death and hell. And you may say, that's not what I became a Christian for. Then I say this with the greatest of respect and the greatest of love. You need to go back and you need to ask yourselves, have I really given my life to Jesus? Did I sign up just to get a ticket to heaven? Did I pray a prayer just because my friend prayed a prayer? Just because I felt it was the right thing to do? Just as an insurance policy? My friends, we need to be so convinced and convicted of our salvation in order for us to fulfill those things that God has called us to as warriors of faith. Amen? Last week we talked about how that there is death in victory. I read through John chapter 10 this week. You know, it's a good thing to read your Bibles. If you're not in the habit of doing that, I want to encourage you to do that, not out of duty, but because you need to. It is life to you. And in John chapter 10, Jesus says these amazing words in verse 17. He says, "It is because I laid down my life that my Father loves me." And I had to stop and meditate on those words. They had never jumped out at me like that before. Because Jesus was willing to lay down his life, He knew and he experienced the love of his Father. I thought to myself, my, that is an experience of Father's love that I want in my life. And I know there's only one way to obtain that, and that is just like Jesus, to be willing to lay down my life for the Father, for his purposes. We began to talk about faith, and that led us into our title, Warriors of Faith, or Faith Warriors. And I want to go on today to talk about some faith strategies that bring us the victory in our life. Here is our key Bible verse this afternoon. It's taken from James chapter 4 and verse 7. And the Word of God says this: submit yourself then to God. Submit or surrender yourself to God. And then we come across a part of the Bible which I would guess just about all of us have quoted. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The problem is this, my friends. Many of us try to do the second part of that verse without doing the first bit. We sense the onslaught of Satan in our lives against us, and a scripture comes to mind: resist the devil and he will flee from you. And so in our attempt at so-called spiritual warfare, we say, I come against the enemy, the devil, in Jesus' name. I resist you, and therefore you must flee. And he doesn't. Don't put your hands up, necessarily. I'd have to put mine up. I've done that. I've done it many times. I've resisted in what I thought was the way God wanted me to. And the devil doesn't flee. And I discovered this is why. Because I had ignored the first part of that command. Submit, surrender to God. Let me read you some more verses here, taken from 1 Peter. I haven't got them here. I'm going to have to turn in my Bible. I didn't put them on this presentation here. Sorry about that. Let me turn with you to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says this: therefore, humble yourselves. Do you know what it means to be humble? Yeah? It means to lay on the floor and be insignificant and not too much trouble. No, it doesn't. To be humble simply means to obey. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care or your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. And then it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Here we go again. Resist the devil. He is like a roaring lion. He's looking to devour you. How many of us, hands down, how many of us have tried to resist him and found it doesn't work? I want to suggest this, that most of the time it doesn't work because we have not first humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Can you hear me this morning? I'm not being mean. I'm not being unkind. I'm being faithful and loving to God's word, because this is what God's word says. And I want to go in this morning to talk about some of these faith strategies for victory. How many of you are interested in seeing God's victory in your life? Okay, then you need to hear what God's got to say this morning. As we go through these, and we will go through some this week and some next week, constantly remember that they are strategies of faith, not strategies of human work, human strength. And they are made available and they are fulfilled in us only because of Jesus Christ. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. But if our faith is solely and wholly rested upon God, my friends, I have good news for you this morning. We can live in this place of victory in Jesus' name. Here is the first faith strategy. Number one, obey your commander's orders. Obey your commander's orders. Some months ago, I was watching a TV documentary with Hudson, my grandson. And it was a documentary about the SOAR, Special Something Airborne Regiment, operations, the 160th Regiment of the American and Canadian? Not sure. Didn't take that much notice about it because I was so taken up with what was happening. These are a crack team of Air Force military people who are called into extreme situations to rescue kidnapped people or to gain ground. And the training that they go through was something which this documentary detailed. They go through something called Black Day. And you can imagine that's not a lot of fun. At least 12 hours of intense training, starting at 2 a.m. in the morning. Now, most of us only ever experience 2 a.m. in the morning because we're watching some dumb movie or we're tip-tapping on Facebook. These guys were woke up out of their sleep, hauled to the training area, and they went through unbelievable physical exercise. I would have collapsed after 5 minutes. They go through the exercise, then they have to run about 5 miles, and they find this equipment, and they have to follow in instructions that they have been given by their commander to move this equipment from where it is to a safe zone. And the rest of the documentary details how they all but failed. And one of the most important things that this Black Day is designed to teach these people is just what we have said right now. Obey the orders of your commander. And this documentary details how that most, if not all, of the people who were being trained forgot this one truth. They were so taken up with the extremities of what they were doing that they ignored the commands of their commanders, which if they had followed, would have made their life so much easier. And I believe, my friends, that this is one of the main reasons why you and I as Christians do not experience the victory life that is ours in Jesus Christ, because we do not obey our commander. And I want to go through a number of points that will help us to not forget this, I pray, in Jesus' name. Number one, get on God's side. I want to read you some verses from the book of Joshua. Joshua was put in command of the people of Israel. One of the things that he had to overcome was this huge fortress of a city called Jericho. And so one day, Joshua goes out on his own to Jericho, and he stands beside it, and this is what happened. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. This was not a McDonald's delivery man. This was a warrior. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" Reasonable question. Here's a man standing with a sword with the potential to take your head off. One of the important facts that you think you might want to find out, is he on your side? Is he for you or is he against you? Look how this man responded. He said, no. No. Now, some of you are English teachers, and your English is much better than mine. But if a man says to you, are you for us or against us? The answer should usually be, either I'm for you or I'm against you. But he said, no. In other words, neither. No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come down. You see, this man was no normal warrior. He was the commander of the Lord's army. Joshua saw him. He was probably a formidable sight. He was probably like no warrior that Joshua had ever seen. And I can imagine that Joshua was thinking, I hope this guy's on my side. I want him fighting for me, not against me. The problem was Joshua's question was the wrong question. He was asking, are you on our side or are you on the side of our enemies? And the army, the commander of the army of the Lord said, wrong question. Joshua, you need to be on God's side. I have been sent as the commander of God's army. It is you who must align yourself with me. And here is one of our great problems. We like to go to God and we say, God, I've got this great idea. I've fallen in love with this gorgeous girl. I've fallen in love with this hunk of a man. Would you bless me and say that I can marry them? I've got this great job opportunity. God, it's going to pay me bucket loads of money. And of course, if you give it to me, I will tithe faithfully, maybe more than 10%. Would you bless me and give this to me? Wrong question. Wrong question. The question should be this. Here is the question. This is what Joshua said. He fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? In other words, God, what do you want me to do? What is your plan for my life? Speak to me. Show me what it is that you want me to do. Discover and obey his commands. Don't try to get God to bless something that you want to do. God doesn't work that way. Right there, I've broken, burst open so many people's bubbles. Because that's the way we have been. We get an idea that seems like a God idea, and we ask God to bless it. God won't bless it because it's not his will. And we get disappointed with God because he let us down. But he didn't let us down. We didn't take the effort and spend the energy and the time to find out what God wanted me to do. If you are a military person and you go into combat and you haven't bothered to listen to what the commands of your commander are, you will be useless. You will be a liability. You understand what I'm saying? You will get in the way. And your commander will say, let's bring him back. Let's teach him some lessons. Let's teach him the first lesson. Listen and do what your commander says. My friends, I hope you can hear my heart in this. These are lessons that I learn constantly. I must listen to what God wants me to do, hear his words, and obey them. Amen? Third thing, take responsibility. There is an amazing story that you read of in 2 Samuel 11 and into chapter 12. It's a story about King David. It says here in verse 1, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. Listen to this. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Doesn't really seem particularly significant, does it? It's battle time. David feels like a break, so he sends his second in command, Joab. And hey, they still win. They still beat the people of Ammon and Rabbah. And everybody's happy. True? No. Not true. Why? Because it was the time when kings go to battle and David stayed at home. My friends, there are places where God wants us to be, doing things that he wants us to do, that we must do now. You say, what's the big deal, Pastor, here? They won the battle. God was obviously with them. Read the rest of the story. You'll find that David is at home. And in evening time, he goes onto his roof. He looks across from his roof. And he sees a naked woman bathing. If he had been in battle, he would never have seen that. If he had been where God had said he should be, he would never have been tempted by it. But he was tempted. And he took that woman, Bathsheba, he slept with her, and she became pregnant by him. Bad enough, you would think. Then he discovers that her husband is out on the battlefield fighting for him. His name is Uriah. And so he calls Joab to him and says, Joab, I've got a mission for Uriah. Put him right on the front line. And then when the enemy comes, get everybody else to retreat. And he'll probably die. And he did. David basically murdered Bathsheba's husband. Why? Because he wasn't doing what God had told him to do when God told him. Yeah. You say, what happened to the child? The child was born, and God took the life of that child. David fasted and prayed for 7 days until that child died, became sick and died. My friends, we are in an army. And you would not disobey the commands of your commander in a natural military. You wouldn't do it. But sometimes we read God's word and it says, if you forgive, my Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't, then he can't forgive you. Man, that's a word right there. That's an instruction right there. We say, some other time. It's not convenient right now. I don't feel like I've got, you know, I don't feel like I should need to do that right now. God speaks to us about moving to a place where he wants to use us. He speaks to us about a relationship that is not right. And God, and we say, I can't quite hear that, God. I'm a little bit deaf in that ear. There's a more convenient time. There's a better time. It doesn't fit with what I'm doing right now. Too right it doesn't. That's why God is speaking to us. Serious. Yeah? If you are in enemy territory and you get a command to do something, you better do it. How many of you know that God knows better than we do? Yeah. Let's live like we believe that. David paid an unbelievable price simply because he wasn't where he should be doing what God told him to do. He didn't take responsibility. How many of us sometimes do that? Oh, someone else will do that. Someone else will take care of that. Yeah? That's our responsibility. Take responsibility. We're talking about strategies of faith. Remove all excuses. Excuses of inconvenience. I can't afford it. It doesn't work right now. They won't like me. They'll think I'm crazy. They won't be friends with me anymore. My family might cut me off. Remove all excuses. Jesus was calling people to follow him one day. And he said to another, follow me. But that person says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him some words which, my goodness, we would struggle with, I think. Let the dead bury the dead. What I want you to do is go and preach the gospel. Why are God's words so strong sometimes because God sees what we don't see. God knows what we don't know. God understands these things. And when God says something to us, may we be people that obey and obey quickly. Amen? Strategies of faith, obeying the commander. You say, I don't know what God's words for me are. I don't know what he wants me to do. Then fall on your face, my friend, until you do. And I am so serious. I am so serious. I was meeting with the vision team this morning. The vision team are all the wonderful teams of people that, and most of you are part of this, who meet together early on a Sunday and help to turn this amazing school into something like a church building. And I was sharing with them that there are times in my when I have my prayer devotion times when I'm asking God for his will that I literally shake with fear. And I don't fabricate it. It is a state of my heart. I shake with fear that I am not doing what God wants me to do. And you may say, there, Pastor. God loves you. God understands. And my friends, with love, I would brush your hands off me. I would like Jesus have to say, get behind me, Satan. Because I know that my commission is to do what God has told me to do. And some would say to me, does it really matter? As long as we're living good, as long as we're reading the Bible, as long as we're attending church and we're doing our best, does it really matter? Yes, it does. There was an appointed time for Jesus to come to this earth. There is an appointed time for things that God has given for us to do if we are going to live in the fullness of his victory. Can you hear me this morning? Second thing, we need to fight for each other. I told you about this documentary that I saw. They completed their task. They got all of their equipment to where it should be. They were absolutely drained and exhausted to the point of collapse. Some of them did collapse. And then their drill sergeant stood before them and asked them a question. Is everybody accounted for? And they didn't know how to answer. And you can imagine how these drill sergeants were shouting at their face. Is everybody here? It's a simple question. What they didn't realize was that because they had been so focused on themselves, on survival, the team leader and the leader's assistant had been kidnapped about 8 hours earlier, and nobody had noticed. I watched that and my heart broke on the inside of me. And I said, Lord, forgive us as a church when we do that. We become so self-centered, so taken up with our own little world that we're not watching out for our brothers and our sisters. We're not upholding them. We're not encouraging them. We're not joining forces with them and holding them in that place of faith. If they don't turn up, if they stop attending focus groups or services, we think, well, maybe they've moved on. Maybe we don't even notice. I say, God, forgive us. And I was so convicted about this, how that we as the church, as the army of God, we must fight for each other. But how often are we guilty of actually fighting against each other? Not only do we not care, but somebody maybe says something that upsets us and we start to yakety-yak about them. Did you hear what so-and-so said? How awful. How can he say he's a Christian? Did you see what they did? Did you see how she was dressed and she calls herself a believer? What did you think to the worship this morning? It was too loud. It was too quiet. And we start to gossip. You say, well, come on, Pastor, you're just splitting hairs here now. No, I'm not. Those are the access points when we choose not to stand with one another, but we speak bad about each other. We get offended, and instead of going to that person and saying, my friends, my brother, my sister in the Lord, I need to talk with you because I have sinned. I've taken offense at something you said. Please, would you forgive me? Oh, we don't do that. We have a little talk about them to somebody else. The leaders of the church decide to go with a certain plan and strategy as led by God, and we don't like it. And so we talk about it, and we try to find other people that think the same way as we do, because we don't like thinking this on our own. We're fighting against each other. So what do I do if somebody offends me, if somebody speaks bad about me, if I don't like them? What do I do? You go and talk to them. Don't talk to the third person. If I offend you, come and talk to me. I don't bite much. I don't bite, honestly. This is how we fight for each other. When we talk against each other and we detach ourselves from one another, we are doing Satan's work for him. His strategy is to divide. Praise God. God's grace is upon us as a church, and I know of none of these things. And I'm not having a go at anybody because I know anything I don't. These are strategies that I believe if we will live by, we can protect that beautiful oneness, that unity, even though we are so diverse that God has given us. But we must be aware of it because it creeps in. We can have a bad day. Things can go wrong at work, and we can take it out on our brothers and sisters. And we are doing Satan's work. Let's do God's work. Amen? Let's stay unified. And you may be from a different country than me. Just about everybody here is, I think. Is Sarah here today? No? Okay, I'm the only Brit here, I think, today. And some of you are from Canada and America and Korea and Guatemala and China and African nations, everywhere. But we can be united in Christ, but we have to fight for it. We have to protect it. What do I do, Pastor, if someone comes to me and says, have you heard? What do you think? I don't like it. What do you think? Do you know what you should say? You should say, go talk to that person. Oh, I couldn't do that. Then let me pray for you that you go, but don't talk to me about it. Yeah? It's not that difficult. It's gone a bit quiet. These are faith strategies. These are ways in which we will ensure victory and not defeat. Many people, Paul says as he writes to the church at Corinth, many of you are sick. And some of you have died prematurely because you have let and allowed division to come in amongst you. You've spoken bad of each other. You've gossiped. You've detached yourself from one another. And because of that, you're sick, some of you. Is that a curse of God, that if we talk bad, he'll make us sick? Absolutely not. But my brother, my sister, when our heart is not clean towards each other, it's an open door. It's like an invitation for the enemy to come in and have his way. We need to keep those doors firmly shut. I know people who are so offended with their brothers and sisters in Christ that they have physical ailments and they've had them and taken them to the grave. I'm telling you the absolute truth. And I have pleaded with people, please forgive them. Be reconciled to them. Nope. Not going to do it. So sad. They have no victory. We need to learn about sacrificial loyalty. Paul says, for me to live, it's Christ. To die is actually More than that, it's gain. Read around Philippians 1:21. You'll find that Paul is confronted with this dilemma. Should I die and go to be with Christ, which is absolutely amazing? He chooses to stay because he knew that his work was not done. Do we have sacrificial loyalty towards one another? Is that in my heart? Sacrificial loyalty? Now, loyalty is one of those human characteristics that is in such small supply today. I think the place that people should be able to find true loyalty, first and foremost, is the body of Christ, that we will lay down our lives for each other. I think it's the U.S. military that has a phrase that they leave no man behind. Let us leave no one behind. If we see one of our brothers and sisters falling, let's not rejoice in it. Let's not ignore it. Let's even be prepared to lay down our lives that we can save them and rescue them from their sin. Let's make sure that we're free from judgment. James chapter 5, verse 9 says this, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Is that a threat? No, it's no threat. It's a promise. There's a big difference. Threats aren't always carried out. Promises are, especially when God makes them. I do not want to be judged by God for grumbling against my brothers and sisters. And I'll be honest with you, church. The Lord has pulled me up on this maybe 3-4 months ago. I found myself just allowing a little bit of frustration to come in certain areas. And I was beginning to speak a certain way that was not healthy. I wasn't saying, oh, they're useless and they're no good and they'll never be anything. I was just really allowing those initial thoughts to be there. And God yanked that slack out of my heart. And I'm so glad. And I confessed it to my wife. And I said, darling, please help me not to talk this way. Help me not to do this. Why do I respond like that? Because Jesus says, do not judge one another. Because with the same judgment that you judge, you also will be judged. If we allow these little things to start in our faith family here, they don't just stay little, they grow. People polarize to grumbling. And we need to deal with it before ever it comes out of our mouth. How do I deal with it? Take it to God. And if you need to, take it to the person that you're upset with. And don't say, young man, you make me sick. No, he doesn't. Young man doesn't make anybody sick. Don't say it like that. You're passing the blame. You need to say, young man, I need to apologize to you. Because when you did that, when you said that, I just choose to cut you off as my brother. And I'm sorry for doing that. If you'll do that, it breaks it right there and then. And you're unified and strengthened. And you gain the victory. Can you hear me this morning? Is this making sense? We're talking about faith strategies. Last one here. We are one team. I often say this. Church is not a talent show. You've seen Korea's Got Talent or America's Got Talent. I think they're one of the funniest programs out. Seriously, hilarious. Some of these people, you know, I think I can't sing, but I'm not going to stand up and make a fool of myself like that. But what they're doing is they're bringing their talent so that their talent is recognized so that they can be famous. That's not church. Church is not a talent show. Church is where we bring our gifts and talents that God has given us anyhow before we think we're too smart. God gave them to us in the first place. We bring them as gifts to the church, to the team, to the body, so that God can use them for his glory. We suffer defeat when we separate ourselves from what God is doing in a local church. If God has placed you here, it's partly for your protection. And that protection comes when you join yourself like this to the body of Christ. The Bible says As a body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. That's how Christ is. That's how Christ is. Right here this morning, and for everybody listening over podcast who's a believer, this is the body of Christ. This is as good as it gets. This is the gift of Christ to the world. One body, many nationalities, many different backgrounds, many gifts and talents. One body. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, Koreans, Americans, Canadians, British, etc. And all have been made to drink into one Spirit, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. And this is the attitude that we need to continue to live in victory. I want to say it this way as I close this morning, and I'm saying this with absolute sincerity of heart, and I wish I could look at each of your eyes at the same time. I've only got two eyes, so I can't do that. This is what I want to say. I need you. Now, I'm not saying that as a pastor that needs lots of people in the church to make him look good. I don't need you for that. Jesus makes me look good. Amen? And my wife helps as well. But I need you because we are part of the same body. I need your gifts. I need your strengths. I need your talents. I need your abilities. I need your anointing. Just in the same way as your ear needs your eye. Different functions, different abilities, but they need each other. And this is the truth as well, and you may not say amen to this, but you need me. not just because I'm one of the pastors here, but because I'm part of the body here. And you need each other. Let's be a unified body, one in Christ Jesus, one Spirit, one Lord, one baptism, one message, part of one army. My friends, I believe that God has done great things amongst us. I really truly believe that. But I believe that we are standing on the edge of seeing something that we would even struggle to imagine. And God is preparing us. He's preparing us as his warriors to go into battle, not just to protect ourselves in Christ. I would say primarily this, to reach out to the lost multitudes and rescue them from hell and damnation. I believe God is calling us and rising us up as an army for that purpose. And I know that God is doing great things in our hearts and our lives. God's showing me that. But I believe he's also preparing us to reach out and to save the lost. Can you say amen to that? Are we warriors of faith? Are we God's warriors? Next week, we're going to be talking about the weapons that God has given us. And we're going to be talking about the armor that God has given us. I'm looking forward to sharing those thoughts with you. Let's stand together and pray. Hallelujah. You know, as we go into prayer, I'm conscious that these are sobering thoughts. But I'm also conscious that they are thoughts that if we will embrace them, they're God's words, they will transform our lives. If we will choose to live by them. God is equipping us, faithfully equipping us, raising us up as an army. So let's join together in prayer right now. Father, we stand to attention and we say, here we are, Lord. Here we are as your warriors, not in our own strength, but strengthened by the victory that Jesus Christ has won for us. Father God, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, convict us like you've never, ever convicted us before, so that we would be obedient to your commands. As we're in prayer right now, it could be that there's something that you have been asked to do by God and you've just not done it. You've made excuses, but you've just not done it. Right now, not when you get home, right now, start to talk to God about it and repent of it. But I'm warning you, if you repent, that will mean that you'll have to do something about it. You will need to make some changes. Step out in faith and do it. Let's learn to be people that obey God. Father, I thank you that you've called us to be one body. You have brought us together from such diverse backgrounds, and you unite us around Christ. We are Christ-centered. Father, I'm so thankful that you do this. And I thank you that you protect us. Father, if we have erred from this, if we have allowed our thoughts and our speech in any way to separate us from one another, we come before you now, Lord God, and humbly we repent of that. And again, as you pray before the Lord right now, you may need to go and apologize to someone. You may need to say, sorry that I ever thought this way of you. Please forgive me. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you equip us as your warriors, that you cause us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. While we're in prayer this morning, just before we finish, I want to ask you, have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you born again? Have you had your sins forgiven? Do you know that if Jesus was to return today, that you would be with him in heaven? If you don't, and that is something that you need to put right now. And I want to pray with everybody here and anyone that's listening on podcast who says, right now, I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you are a follower of Jesus, but you're living in disobedience, and you say, I want to turn that around and I want to become obedient to my master. And I want to pray with you too. And to know that I'm praying with you, if you want to give your life to the Lord for the very first time, or if you say, I'm coming back to you, Jesus, and I'm committing before you to be an obedient warrior, I want you to quickly, while we're in prayer, just raise your hand so I can see that I'm praying with you. And then slip it down again. Just quickly raise your hand. Praise God, and then slip it down again. Amen. You say, I'm coming to Jesus for the very first time, or I'm coming now and I'm making him my absolute master and I'm going to obey what he's asked me to do. If that's you and you want me to pray with you this morning, just raise your hand very quickly. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. If you put your hand up, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And I'm going to pray, first of all, for those that want to give their lives for the very first time. Pray this prayer with me. Say, oh God, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you gave Jesus Christ to die and to be punished for my sin. And this morning I receive your forgiveness. I receive the gift of your Holy Spirit to live in me. And I give my life to you. From this day on, I choose to live completely for you. And Father, we pray now together with those that are choosing this morning to follow you unreservedly and give you everything. Father, thank you that you draw us to yourself, that you convict us by your Holy Spirit, that your word is truth and brings freedom. And this morning, Father, we step forward. We step forward to identify that we are servants of the Most High, obedient warriors of our Almighty King. Father, thank you for the victory that you give to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.